Welcome to Learning English, a daily 30-minute program from the Voice of America. I'm Ashley Thompson. This program is aimed at English learners, so we speak a little slower and we use words and phrases especially written for people learning English. Today on the program, you will hear stories from Brian Lynn, Phil Deerking, and Jonathan Evans. Later, Alice Bryant brings us this week's Personal Technology Report. But first, here is Katie Weaver.
Iraqi Kurds offered on Wednesday to suspend the results of an independence vote and to start talks with the government in Baghdad. However, an Iraqi military spokesman suggested that, regardless of talks, an offensive would continue to capture territory under Kurdish control. The Iraqi central government declared the Kurdish referendum for independence illegal. It launched an offensive to seize the oil-producing area of Kirkuk. Kurdish forces had defeated Islamic State militants to take control of the area. In a statement, the Kurdistan Regional Government, or KRG, said, "The fighting between the two sides will not produce a victory for any. It will take the country to total destruction." The KRG proposed an immediate ceasefire and a suspension of the referendum result. In return, it called for starting an open dialogue with the federal government based on the Iraqi constitution. In a social media comment, an Iraqi military spokesman answered, "Military operations are not connected to politics." Iraqi Prime Minister Haider al-Abadi did not react to the Kurdish proposal on Wednesday. He was on an official visit to neighboring Turkey and Iran, countries that are also against the Kurdish independence vote. Earlier, the Prime Minister had said the KRG should cancel the vote's result as a condition for talks to take place. He also ordered the Iraqi army to capture all disputed territory and demanded control of Iraq's border crossings with Turkey. All such crossings are inside the Kurdish autonomous area. On Tuesday, Kurdish officials said their Peshmerga forces had stopped Iranian-supported militias near the border with Turkey and Syria. The border area of Fishkabur is part of the Kurdish Autonomous Region. It is home to a pipeline for oil exports from northern Iraq to Turkey. Control of the area is important to any move toward Kurdish independence. The fighting between the central Iraqi government and the Kurds presents a problem for the United States. The U.S. began providing military support and training to both sides after the war in Iraq and during the fight against Islamic State militants. I'm Katie Weaver.
Five airline companies plan to question all passengers on flights going to the United States starting Thursday. The companies are beginning the security interviews at the request of U.S. officials. The five airlines are Air France, Cathay Pacific, Egypt Air, Emirates, and Lufthansa. All five said they plan to carry out the interviews. However, the airlines gave different descriptions of how the passengers are to be questioned. Some travelers may actually be questioned by an airline employee, but others may be told to answer questions on a form or document. The Associated Press says it was not immediately clear if other airlines would be affected. In the past, the international travel industry experienced problems after the U.S. government announced steps to improve airline security. The U.S. Department of Homeland Security has yet to comment on the interviews. The new policy comes at the end of a 120-day time limit for airlines to meet new U.S. rules after officials lifted a ban on laptop computers on some Middle Eastern airlines. Germany's Lufthansa Group said the new rules come from the U.S. Transportation Security Administration, which reports to the Department of Homeland Security. In addition to the controls of electronic devices already introduced, travelers to the USA might now also face short interviews at check-in, document check, or their gate, the company said. The Lufthansa Group includes Germany's largest carrier, Lufthansa, as well as Austrian Airlines, Swiss, Eurowings, and several other airlines. Air France will begin new security interviews on Thursday at Paris Orly Airport and a week later at Charles de Gaulle Airport. The company plans to give a written questionnaire to 100% of the passengers. Emirates said it will begin doing pre-screening interviews. Passengers flying out of Dubai are to be questioned at airline check-in areas. The company will conduct interviews at boarding gates for passengers changing airplanes during their travel. It warned people flying through Dubai International Airport, its headquarters, to allow extra time for flights. These measures will work in complement with the current additional screening measures conducted at the boarding gate, it said. Cathay Pacific Airways said on its website that it had suspended self-drop baggage services. Passengers traveling to the United States will also be given a short security interview when dropping off their bags. Passengers traveling without bags will have a similar interview before getting on their flights. Egypt Air said in a statement, their new security measures include interviews and more detailed searches of passengers and their belongings. The measures will include searches for illegal agricultural or animal products. These changes are the latest decision by President Donald Trump's administration to affect international travel. In March, U.S. officials announced the ban on laptops in passenger areas on flights from 10 Middle East cities. Officials said they were concerned that Islamic State fighters and other extremists could hide bombs inside of the computers. The ban was later lifted after the airlines began using devices such as CT scanning equipment to inspect electronic devices. That laptop ban as well as U.S. travel bans, mainly affecting Muslim countries, have created problems for Mideast airlines. Emirates, the largest airline in the area, said it cut 20% of its flights to the U.S. in the weeks after the restrictions. It was not immediately clear if the new rules affect other Mideast airlines. Abu Dhabi-based Etihad told the Associated Press that its operations were normal. Qatar Airways has yet to say how the changes have affected its operations. I'm Phil Dierking.
A new law banning any insult to China's national anthem took effect last month. Hong Kong's leader has suggested the law could soon be enforced there in the former British territory. China's National People's Congress Standing Committee approved the measure on September 1st. Hong Kong is in the process of including the law in its separate statute book. It could be enforced in Hong Kong as early as next month. Hong Kong Chief Executive Carrie Lam spoke to reporters last week. Although it's been approved as a national law, she said, in order to introduce it in Hong Kong, there has to be some adaptation. Local media reported that the law could be used to target people who attend European football matches. In recent years, some football fans have shouted, booed, or made other noises when China's national anthem is played. Most people act respectfully when the music is played. Wang Guangya recently retired as China's representative to Hong Kong. He said the anthem law could be dealt with in a way that meets the requirements of the city's legal system, which is different from other parts of the country. I think that Hong Kong can do this in accordance with its own legal system, Wang told reporters. The most important thing is this. Any citizen of this country should show respect to their country, its national anthem, and its national flag, he said. Wang added that this is a fundamental requirement, which I hope everyone agrees with. Last week, Hong Kong Democratic Party Chairman Wu Chih-wai spoke about the issue. He said the booing of the national anthem at football matches was a way for the people of Hong Kong to express their dissatisfaction with the government in Beijing. He also said that enforcing the anthem law could backfire. Wu said there is a deep divide between Beijing and Hong Kong, one that is, in his words, getting wider and wider. They seem to think that this can be achieved simply by passing legislation requiring people to respect the national anthem, he said. Wu added, if they want people to show genuine respect, then they shouldn't be encouraging them to fake it. Last Wednesday, Chinese President Xi Jinping said that China's Communist Party will keep a firm grasp on Hong Kong and exercise full powers of governance in the city. I'm Brian Lin.
Tom Costello Jr. was once afraid of homeless Americans. He said, "I was so afraid that if I saw a homeless person walking down the street, I'd cross the street." That changed 7 years ago after his wife, a volunteer at a homeless shelter, persuaded him to help with a holiday dinner for shelter residents. Costello remembers going to a store and buying socks for the residents. He knew many of them were in need of clothing. At the shelter, Costello said, he dropped a pair of socks into a bag for a woman. She asked him if she could have socks for a friend who wasn't with her that day. He gave her another pair. She started to cry and told me that nobody had ever given me socks before, Costello said. Then she reached out and gave me a hug. That experience at the shelter helped Costello end his fear of the homeless. It also led him to set up a group called The Joy of Socks. It borrows from The Joy of Sex, the name of a popular book in the 1970s. The Joy of Socks collects socks from donors and gives them mostly to shelters in the Philadelphia, Pennsylvania area, where Costello and his wife Nancy live. But the group has been expanding its reach. It now provides socks to homeless shelters in 21 states and 3 countries: Mexico, Afghanistan, and Uganda. Why socks? Costello explains that some Americans give food, coats, and other clothing to shelters. But donating socks was not something most people thought about. And he said, socks are very helpful at keeping people warm in cold weather. A man named Kiwi, who has lived in homeless shelters, explained that socks are important to people who spend a lot of time outdoors. Kiwi said most of the time he can find enough food through shelters and soup kitchens. But socks are much more difficult to get, he noted. Being without socks leads to sores on your knees, between your toes, and on your ankles, he said on the Joy of Socks website. Costello said he expects as many as 250,000 pairs of socks to be donated by the end of the year. Many come from sock-giving programs set up by schools. Recently, Temple University collected 2,798 pairs of socks during the school's homecoming weekend. The Guinness Book of World Records keeps records for just about anything. Its list of records includes the most sock donations in 8 hours. Temple University students broke that record by donating 2,798 pairs on October 9th, 2017. Temple University student Alyssa Woodward helped direct the sock collection effort. She said, "We're starting a new tradition to break a new record every year. But it really isn't about us. It's about who we are helping." Costello said his hope for Joy of Socks is for it to be the best sock charity in the world. He also wants the group to give 6 pairs of socks to every homeless person in the United States each year. Other U.S. groups that give out socks to poor people are Bombas and Hannah's Socks. I'm Jonathan Evans.
This is what's trending today. In 1922, German-born scientist Albert Einstein was traveling to Tokyo when he found out
he had earned the Nobel Prize in Physics. While in Japan, Einstein stayed at Tokyo's Imperial Hotel. During his stay, a hotel worker came to Einstein's room to make a delivery. Einstein found himself without any money to give the man as a tip for his services. So, instead of money, the famous scientist handed the hotel worker a signed note with a sentence he wrote in German. It read, "A calm and humble life will bring more happiness than the pursuit of success and the constant restlessness that comes with it." He gave him another note that read, "Where there's a will, there's a way." Both notes were written on the Imperial Hotel's notepaper. Einstein reportedly advised the man to keep the notes, saying they may one day be worth more than any tip he could give him. The hotel worker must have listened to Einstein's advice. 95 years later, the hotel worker's nephew contacted Winners Auctions and Exhibitions, an auction company in Israel. On Tuesday, the notes were put on auction in Jerusalem. The price of the happiness note started at $2,000. About 25 minutes later, it sold to the highest bidder. That person, who has not been named, agreed to pay $1.3 million. The second signed Einstein note sold for over $200,000. Einstein may be best known for his theory of relativity. In fact, the winners of this year's Nobel Prize for Physics earned the award for measuring gravitational waves, an important part of Einstein's theory. But now, his one-sentence theory of happiness is famous as well. And that's what's trending today.
One of the newest smart devices is an old favorite, a camera. And smart cameras are getting smarter all the time. Some are now built with machine learning tools to help them think for themselves. Machine learning involves putting large amounts of data into a computer for processing. The computer uses an algorithm to process the data and learn from it. The machine then trains itself over time to make predictions and decisions about future actions. This technology helps cameras operate on their own by reacting to people and objects in a particular environment. One of the latest to launch is Google Clips. It is the first camera developed by the web search giant that is not built into a phone. Google Clips is very small, weighing just 60 grams. The device is designed to be put somewhere in a room to take pictures by itself. It can also be attached to an object or a person's clothing. Google says machine learning helps the camera choose the best times and situations for taking pictures and video clips. It can also recognize the faces of people or pets chosen by the user and take pictures of them in a more natural way. Google Clips is smart enough to recognize great expressions, lighting, and framing, the company says on its website. Google says privacy controls have been built into the camera to give users complete control over which images they send to other devices or share with others. The price for Google Clips is $249. The device is not yet being sold, but interested buyers can join a waiting list to be informed when it is available. GoPro is another company developing machine learning technology. The company's Hero 5 and Hero 6 models are designed to be easily taken anywhere and can automatically capture photos and video. The Hero 5 session camera can be controlled by voice to allow for total hands-free usage. GoPro also uses machine learning to power its Quick Stories feature. This tool takes existing photos and videos and automatically creates a finished video piece, complete with music and effects. Messaging app Snapchat sells a pair of sunglasses with a built-in camera that can record short video clips with the push of a button. Snap Inc. says the product, called Spectacles, is designed to capture the moment without taking you out of it. While GoPro's cameras and Snapchat's Spectacles are designed to be used mostly outdoors, Google says Clips works best when used at home with family and close friends. Both GoPro and Snap Inc. plan to keep developing machine learning technology. But so far, neither has released products with smart capture capabilities comparable to Google Clips. Many smartphones already have facial recognition technology built into the devices. Apple's new iPhone X is being launched with its new Face ID system that it says will unlock the phone just by having the user look at it. This replaces the Touch ID on previous devices that used a fingerprint to unlock the phone. Apple says the system works by projecting more than 30,000 dots on the face to create a kind of map. An infrared camera then reads the dots to create an image that can be confirmed as a match. Apple claims its facial recognition is even secure enough to allow payments through its Apple Pay service. Samsung's S8 smartphones also use eye and facial recognition technology to unlock devices. Earlier this year, Samsung also launched its new voice assistant, Bixby. The service uses machine learning to automatically search and bring up information on things that are photographed. The technology also allows voice to control many device actions. I'm Alice Bryant.
And that's our program for today. Listen again tomorrow to learn English through stories from around the world. I'm Ashley Thompson.